We are on Sadi Dalit Amin Aleph from the 11th line, right after the two dots. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Shita Alfi Parse Have Alma, Visumcha Derekia Alpha Parse, Chad the Gemara V'chad the Svar. The Gemara starts out by noting the following, that the world, the earth, is 6,000 parsos, which again, yesterday we spoke about the distance of a parsa, right? We said yesterday that a parsa is 4 mil. So the Gemara starts out by saying that the distance it would take one to walk around the entire earth is 6,000 parsos, and the thickness of the heavens is 1,000 parsos. The Gemara says one of these statements is a tradition, and one of them is based on logic. So the Gemara explains, Savar loki hada amar rabba bar bar chana amar rabbi yochanan, kama mahali chadim benini biyom, yud parsos, me'alos ha-shachar va'ad hanitza chama he-milin, mishkiya sachama atzeh sako So the Gemara says this conforms with the statement of Rabba Bar Bar Chana, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, who says that again, we mentioned this yesterday, the average person walks 10 parsos a day. So again, remember, one parsa is 4 mil, so 10 parsos is 40 mil. So the Gemara breaks it down as follows. The Gemara says that between Alos HaShachar and Netzachama, a person walks 5 mil. Between Shkia and Tzeis HaKochavim, a person can also walk 5 mil. And then the rest of the day is 30 mil. That totals 40 mil, or 10 parsos. So the Gemara says it turns out that the thickness of the heavens is 1/6 of the distance that it would take one to walk throughout the day. Because again, remember, in other words, the regular course of the day from sunrise until sunset is the distance of 30 mil, and one can walk 5 mil in that morning and that night period. That means that you walk the 1/6 of the distance that the sun goes from the morning to the evening. So now the Gemara questions this. The Gemara says, Meisvei Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ov Yoshal Rakia Echad Me'asara Bayom. Teida, kama mahalichadim benani biyom, eser parsos, me'alos hashachar aranit sachama arbaas milin, mishkiya sachama v'yatzeis hakochavim arbaas milin, nimtzeis ovyo shalrakiya echon me'asar biyom, tiyufta derava, tiyufta de'ula, tiyufta. The Gemara says that there's a different understanding of the relationship between the how far the sun travels during the day and the amount of distance one can walk in the morning and the evening. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, he says that the thickness of the heavens is actually 1/10 of the distance that the sun travels throughout the day, because again, everyone agrees, at least for now, that an average person walks 10 parsos or 40 mil during the course of the day. However, Rabbi Huda says that as opposed to what we were citing in the Gemara earlier, that a person walks 5 mil from Alos HaShachar till Netzachama, or from Shkia until Tzeis HaKochavim, Rabbi Yehuda holds that a person only, that distance is only the amount of time it takes to walk 4 mil. So that would seem to refute both the opinion of Rava as well as Ula. That seems to go against what we were saying before, because now the Gemara is assuming that the earth is actually, that the thickness of the heavens is actually 1/10 of the amount that the sun travels throughout the day, which means that the thickness of the heavens is much more than 1,000 parsos that we cited earlier. So the Gemara then says, you're right, so this statement of the Gemara seems to refute, our earlier contention that we quoted in the name of Rava and the name of Ula. Then the Gemara says, "Lema tehefte tiyufta de Rabbi Yochanan." Maybe we should also say that this statement of the Gemara is also a refutation against Rabbi Yochanan that we just cited in the Gemara earlier, because Rabbi Yochanan also assumes that the average person walks 40 mil or 10 parsos a day, and again, he also assumes that between Alos HaShachar and Netzachama, between Shkia and Tzeis HaKochavim, the average person walks 5 mil and not 4. So the Gemara says, "No, Amar lecha ana biyamamahu da'amre." The Rabbanan who dekatel dekachashun dekam levachashocha. The Gemara says that one could deflect this argument against Rabbi Yochanan by saying as follows: that perhaps Rabbi Yochanan fundamentally, everyone agrees to the general amount of time that it takes a person to walk throughout the day. Everyone agrees that a person can walk on average 40 mil or 10 parsos a day. The only thing is that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the chachamim were also factoring in those people who started walking much earlier or were also walking much later into the night. So if you factor that in, then your numbers are going to be skewed. So it could be that if you just factor in that average number between Netzachama and Shkia, then you're going to get that same number that basically Rabbi Yochanan will end up agreeing with the Chachamim. Then the Gemara says, Lema tehevi tiyufta de Rabbi Chanina. So now why don't we suggest that our Gemara is also a refutation to Rabbi Chanina. If you remember yesterday, back on yesterday's daf, we quoted the statement of Rabbi Chanina regarding Lot and regarding Sodom. In other words, we use Psukim by Sodom as a proof where the Gemara said that the distance between Sodom and Soar, which is the city that Lot ran to after Sodom was destroyed, was 5 mil. And the Pasuk says that Lot ran from Sodom at Alos HaShachar, and he gets to Soar as the sun is rising, which seems to imply that distance is actually 5 mil and not 4. So the Gemara says, Lo, Vayaitu Shani. That's not a proof, because in Parshas Vayeru, Nero, when the Torah talks about Lot running away from Sodom, it says that he was being rushed out by the Malachim. So it could be that he was walking a lot faster or even running. So that's not a proof that, you know, that if a person's walking at a normal pace, that they would get there at the time that it takes to walk 4 mil. Lot maybe got there faster because, again, he was running or he was walking quickly. So that's not necessarily a proof. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Tashma, Mitzrayim haya arba meos parsa al arba meos parsa, u'mitzrayim echad mishishin b'chush, v'chush echad mishishin ba'olam, va'olam echad mishishin ba'gan, v'gan echad mishishin ba'eden, v'eden echad mishishin b'gehenam, nimtza kol ha'olam kulo kechisu k'deri l'gehenam t'yufta. Now again, without getting into too much detail about what exactly this statement means and what the deeper meaning of the statement is, there's really one point we want to extract from here. Basically, what the Gemara says is, the Gemara discusses the proportional relationship between different places in the world. So for example, the Gemara says that the Mitzrayim was 400 by 400 parsos, and that was 1/60th the size of Kush, of Ethiopia, which was 1/60th of the entire world. Now again, that's the key point here, because if you remember earlier, we said in the Gemara that the whole world is the distance that it takes to walk 6,000 parsos. According to what we just said here, if it's once, if the world is 1/6 larger than Ethiopia, which is 1/6 larger than Mitzrayim, so it turns out that it's at, the world is actually 14,400 parsos and not 6,000. That's going to be the key point from this for Gemara. But again, the Gemara says that, you know, the world is 1/6 the size of Gan, and the Gan is 1/6 of Aden, and Aden is 1/6 of Gehenim. So the Gemara says, you see from here that the whole world is like a little, you know, cover for a pot in comparison to Gehenim. So again, without getting into detail about what that means exactly, the point is, you see from this Gemara clearly that the earth is a lot bigger than 6,000 parsos. That's the key from this Gemara. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Tashma, Desana Deveilio, Rabbi Nasan Omer, Kol Hayishuv Kulo Tachas Kochav Echad Yoshev, Teda, Shahare Adam Nosin Eno Bechochav Echad, Holich La Mizrach Omid Kenegdo, La Arba Rucho Saolam Omid Kenegdo, Michlal the Kol Hayishuv Kulo Tachas Kochav Echad Yoshev Tiyufta. Then the Gemara has another refutation to what we just said. The Gemara says that the entire inhabited, settled part of the world resides under one star, or one constellation, which means that if you see a star in the sky and you continue walking east for miles and miles and miles and miles, you'll still see the same star in the sky. And if you walk to the ends of the earth, again, you have to remember that the Gemara's, you know, knowledge of where people lived and how big the earth was and, you know, other hemispheres was, you know, was much more limited than we have today. So the Gemara's, you know, knowledge of the inhabited world, so to speak, was much, much more limited. But either way, the Gemara says that if a person travels to the quote-unquote the ends of the earth, so they will still see the same star. Now, if the Gemara is saying that the entire earth resides under the guise of one star, meaning to say you'll see that same star anywhere on the earth that you go, that's another way of saying that the entire earth, in other words, since you see multiple stars in the sky, that's an indication that the earth is far larger than 6,000 parsos. So the Gemara says, again, this statement seems to also refute our earlier premise. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tashma, Agala batzafon va'akrav badarom, v'chol ha'yishuv kulo eno yoshiv ela ben agala li'akrav, v'chol ha'yishuv kulo eno hove ela shah achas bayom, she'in chama nichneses la'yishuv ela shah achas bayom, teda, she'bechamish chama b'mizrach, uv'sheva chama b'marav, chati yishesh v'chati sheva chama omedes b'rosh kol adam t'yufta. So again, another refutation to our earlier premise. The Gemara says that Akrav, that Agala is the constellation called Ursa Major, and then Akrav is Scorpio, one of the constellations in the sky. So the Gemara says that Ursa Major is in the north and Scorpio is in the south, and the entire inhabited earth resides between those two constellations, which basically means that if you are anywhere in the earth and you look to your north, you'll see Ursa Major, and you look to your south, you'll see the constellation called Scorpio. And the Gemara says that the sun only passes through the inhabited part of the earth for 1 hour a day. What does that mean? So the Gemara says that because in the fifth hour, the sun is in the east, by the seventh hour, the sun is already in the west, so that 1 hour in the middle, that sixth hour in the middle, the sun is kind of traversing over the inhabited parts of the earth. Now, the Gemara is assuming, again, we have to factor in, you know, we have to take into account the fact that the Gemara was unaware of other hemispheres and things like that, but at least in the inhabited parts of the world that the Gemara knew about, the Gemara was saying that the sun is traveling through every single town on earth that they knew about at the same moment. So that means that, in other words, that again, the earth is going to be a lot larger than 6,000 parsos based on that calculation. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Tashma, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Machuva Hashivatu Baskola Oso Russia. Bishasha Amar El Bama Seav Adamele Oyon, Yotzda Baskova Amrlo, Russia ben Benoshal Nimrod Harasha Shehimrid and Kola Ulam Kulo Alibe Malchuso, Kamishnosar Shal Adam Shivim Shana, the Imbigvuro Shmonim Shana Shana. Shnemar Yemeshno Sain of Lahem Shivim Shana Vimbig Vuroshwanim Shana, Mina Aretz Adla Rakia Mahali Chamesh Meos Shana, Vaovio Shah Rakia Mahalach Chamesh Meos Shana, Uvain Rakia Larakia Mahalach Chamesh Meos Shana, Vechain Bain Kol Rakia Varakia, Acha Shaol Turado Yarka Save Warranty. That's a very interesting proof or refutation, more accurately, that the Gemara quotes here, based on the story of Nevuchadnezzar. The Gemara is referencing a Gemara in Meseches Chagiga, where the Gemara cites a pasuk from Sefer Daniel, where Nevuchadnezzar was trying to glorify himself over Hashem by saying, I'm going to become like God, I'm going to become the greatest king in the world, whatever it was. So the Gemara says that Hashem basically is blasting Nevuchadnezzar for making such a declaration. He says, you Nevuchadnezzar are a descendant of Nimrod. Nimrod, we know, of course, in Parshas Noach, tried to conquer the world. And the Gemara says, the average lifespan of a person is 70, 80 years, as we know from Tehillim. So the Gemara says that, the distance that between, different levels of heavens, the Gemara Meseches Chagiga describes how there are seven levels of the heavens, of the firmaments. So the Gemara says that essentially the distance between each of those is the amount of time that it would take a person to walk for 500 years, which is 1.8 million parsos. And then you have that same, then the thickness of each level of the heavens is also that same distance, that 1.8 million parsos. And then you have seven levels of those heavens. So what Hashem was essentially saying to Nebuchadnezzar is that for you to even have a chance of getting to me, quote unquote, it would take you, light years and eons to even think about getting here. So what Hashem said to him, he cited a pasuk from Yeshayahu, that you're going to end up being thrown down into the pits of Gehenna. And therefore, again, the whole point of this story, the Gemara is quoting, is just to prove that the earth is a lot bigger than 6,000 parsos. That's the only reason why we're quoting this here. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbana, Chachmei Yisrael Omrim, Galgal Kavua Umazolos Chozrin, the Gemara presents a scientific machlokas, or really more accurately, an astrological machlokas between the Jewish sages and between the non-Jewish sages. So the Gemara says that the Chachmei Yisrael thought, or they said, that the sphere, the sphere that surrounds all of the zodiac symbols in the sky, the constellations, that sphere was fixed in place, but the constellations within the sphere, they would move, they would revolve, whereas the Chachmei Umos Olam said the opposite. They said that the sphere that surrounds the zodiac symbols, those revolve, but the constellations within remain stationary. So the Gemara explains, Amar Rebbe, Tshuva l'divrayam, me'olam lo matzinu agala badarom va'akra batzafon. So Rebbe is now trying to refute or to undermine the opinion of the Chachmei Umos Ha'olam. He says, because if it were the case that they were correct, that the sphere surrounding the constellations would move, so then you would have a scenario where Ursa Major would be in the south and Scorpio would be in the north, but that never happens. He says, so the fact that those constellations are always fixed in the same place in the sky all the time is an indication that really, it's really the constellations themselves that are moving and not the sphere around it. So therefore, that's a proof that the Chachmei Yisrael are correct. So the Gemara says, so now the Gemara questions that. Maskifla Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, V'dilma kivotzina derechaya inami kitzinora dedasha. So Rav Acha comes and says, that's not necessarily a proof. Maybe one can equate the sphere that surrounds the constellation to, let's say, for example, a steel socket that's in a mill, or let's say a pivot or a hinge on a door. In other words, those things are stationary, but they allow the door or the mill to revolve around them. So in other words, maybe the Chachmei Umos Ha'olam are correct. Perhaps the sphere does move as, in other words, it essentially revolves around the constellations that are within. So then the Gemara has another machlokas. Chachmei Yisrael Omrim, Bayom Chama Mahaleches Lamata Min Harakia, Uvalayla Lamala Min Harakia, Chachmei Umos Ha'olam Omrim, Bayom Chama Mahaleches Lamata min harakia, uvalayla lamata min harakia. So the Gemara has a further machlokas here. So the Chachmei Yisrael said that during the day, the sun travels, quote unquote, beneath the earth, and at nighttime it goes above the earth. And the Chachmei Umos Olam said the opposite, that during the day, the sun travels beneath the earth, and at night it goes lamata min akarka, it goes beneath the ground. So what does that mean? The Gemara explains, Amar Rebbe, v'nirin divrehen midvarinu, shebayom ayonos tzonen uvalayla roschen. So Rebbe says that the Chachmei Umos Olam seem to be more correct about this. Why? Because he says that that there are hot springs that are cold during the day, but they're hot at night. So the fact that the hot springs only, those springs underground only get hot at night, seems to be a proof that the sun, quote unquote, travels underground at nighttime, but during the day it's traveling in the air, and therefore it doesn't heat up those hot springs to the same degree. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Nasan Omer, Biyamosa chama chama mahaleches begova shalrakia, lefichach kol ha'olam kula rosechu mayanos tzonenin, Biyamosa kshamim chama mahaleches beshipule rakia, lefichach kol ha'olam kula tzonenin, umayanos rosechu. So a similar idea. The Gemara says that in the summertime, the sun travels at the height of the heavens, and therefore the entire world is hot, but the springs underground remain cold because the sun is high up in the sky. Whereas in the wintertime, it's the opposite. The sun travels much lower to the ground, and therefore the earth is colder, but the hot springs underground are going to get hotter. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Ba'arbash vilin chama mahalachas. So there are four paths, or four seasons, so to speak, that the sun travels. What does that mean? So Nisan, Iyar, V'sivan, mahalachas, Baharim, Kedela, Fasher, as Ashlagin. So Nisan and Iyar and Sivan, the sun travels over the mountains in order to melt the snow from the winter. Tamuz Av Elul Mahaleches Bayishuv Kedei Levashel Es Haperos. During the summertime, Tamuz Av and Elul, so the sun goes over the inhabited areas in order to ripen the fruit faster. Tishrei Marcheshon VeChislev Mahaleches Bayamim Kedei Liaveish Es HaNeharos. In the fall, in Tishrei Marcheshon and Kislev, the sun travels over the oceans in order to dry them up. And then Teves Shvat VaAdar Mahaleches BaMidbar Shelo Liaveish Es Hazraim. And then in the winter time, Teves Shvat and Adar, so the sun travels over the desert, so that this way it doesn't travel over the inhabited areas and thereby dry up and cause all of the seeds and all the plants to die. Okay, then we said in the Mishnah of a Rebbe Eliezer, Omer Meyeskubas. Remember yesterday we presented a machlokas about the definition of derech rechoka. Rebbe Eliezer had a very unique shita. The derech rechoka means the guy could be standing literally right outside the Beis Hamikdash, and that's also called derech rechoka. So the Gemara asks, Yafa gav de matzi ayel v'lo amrina lekumayel v'hasan yehudi aro shalom mal anish kares devre Rebbe Eliezer. How can the Mishnah tell us? How can Rebbe Eliezer say that if a guy is 2 feet away from the Mikdash, that that's called Derech Rechoka? Doesn't Rebbe Eliezer tell us that if a person is Jewish, but they're also an Arab, they also don't have a Bris Milah, and they don't administer themselves, in other words, they don't go get themselves a Bris Milah, and as a result, they can't partake of the Karban Pesach, they're Chayav Karis for that. In other words, it's an easily rectifiable problem. So why don't we say that just as a person can easily get himself a Milah, so he can easily walk 2 feet into the Mikdash? What's the difference? So the Gemara says, no. Amar Abaye Derech Rechoka LaTohar. So Abaye invokes the idea that we cited on yesterday's daf, which is that the entire principle of Derech Rechoka, the entire exemption of Derech Rechoka, is only for those people who are tar. Now again, in this case, the guy is not necessarily Tameh, he happens to be an Arel. But again, the point is that if a person, for whatever reason, is Doche, is pushed aside, or a person can't partake of the carbon, whether because they're Tameh or because they're an Arel, so then the whole exemption of Derech Rechoka doesn't get off the ground. Derech Rechoka means that you know, everything else is going for me correctly. Everything else is in place. I should have been able to bring the carbon Pesach. In other words, I'm Tahor, I have a Bris Milah. It's just this one little thing that I happen to be too far away. But if you have other reasons that are preventing you from bringing the carbon Pesach, whether that's because you're an Arel or because you're Tameh, so then the exemption of Derech Rechoka doesn't get off the ground according to Abaye. Then the Gemara says, Rava Amar Tanaihi Desanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Nemar Richuk Makom Bethesach, Venemar Richuk Makom Bemaiser. Ma'ala Halon, Chutzla Achilaso, Afkan, Chutzla Achilaso. So then the Gemara cites, according to Rava, that the way that we know the definition of Derech Rechoka is based on Exer Shava from Maiser Sheni. Because in the context of Maiser Sheni, in Parshas Re'eh, the Torah also uses a similar expression, V'chir Chak Mimecha HaMakom. The Torah says, if a person is, quote, far away from Yerushalayim, so then they're not obligated to actually go to Yerushalayim to eat the Maaser Sheni in a state of Tahara. They can redeem it, they can exchange it on coins, as we know. So the Gemara says that according to Rava, that means if you are physically outside of Yerushalayim, it could be 2 feet away, you're called Derech Rechoka. So the same standards are going to apply, presumably, when it comes to Karban Pesach. However, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Chutz La'asiyah. So according to Rabbi Yossi, he says that the definition of Derech Rechoka is not defined by the place where you're eating the carbon, which again, you could eat the carbon anywhere within the confines of Yerushalayim, but rather the place where you're preparing the carbon Pesach, which is actually within the confines of the Azara. So that's a much more limiting definition, because according to Rabbi Yossi, in other words, you could be in Yerushalayim, but if you're outside the Azara, you're still called Derech Rechoka. Whereas according to Rava says, no, that if you're in the place where you can eat the carbon, i.e. within Yerushalayim, so then you're already not called Derech Rechoka at that point. So then the Gemara...
Rabbi Yossi is saying either I don't understand it or it doesn't make sense. It's not everyone who's part of partaking in the Korban Pesach is in the Azara right at the time of Shkita. I could be in Yerushalayim just waiting for my whoever's in charge of my chabura, right?
Well, according to Rabbi Yossi, someone from the chabura has to be there. But again, as the Gemara already pointed out earlier in the Masechta, even though it seems to be almost mathematically impossible that all the Jewish people could fit into the Azara, we don't know. We don't know this from Yom Kippur and from Pesach that Nisan would happen and the Mikdash would expand and people could fit in. So it wasn't crazy that everyone was there. Everyone was packed in when they offered the Karban Pesach.
So is he suggesting that everyone, if there's 20 people part of my chabura, all have to be in the?
It sounds that way. No. In other words, if let's say only 19 of them are there, it doesn't mean that the other people can't partake. It just means that the one guy who's not there is going to be putter. And again, whether you can have him in mind for the shechita, that was machlokas we had earlier in the Gemara, right? But whether the guy is derech rechoka, can you still shecht for him anyway? That was machlokas we had earlier between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. But yeah, the bottom line is that in other words, you yourself either need to be in Yerushalayim according to Rava, or have to actually be inside the Azara according to Rabbi Yossi. Yeah, that seems to be machlokas. Yeah. Again, if you're not within there, then you're called derech chachoka. Now, again, what you do with that information will depend on the machlokas we had earlier between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. In other words, do we say that b'di'evet I can still shecht the carbon on behalf of a guy who's derech chachoka? That was the machlokas we had back
so
on.
Again,
yeah.
If everybody partook and nobody was an RL and nobody was Tameh, the number of people that would have been in the Azara during that period
is astronomical.
Time,
yeah,
it would have been everybody within a certain circumference. Does anybody have any idea what kind of number that was?
I'm sure it was a tremendous amount. I'm sure it was hundreds of thousands because Jews were coming.
About how many kidneys?
Right. I mean, Jews were coming from all over the place. Jews were doing Aliyah LaRegel. Yeah, Jews from all over Eretz Israel coming. Yeah, I'm sure the numbers were very, very significant. I don't know the exact numbers. I don't know if the Gemara ever talks about exact. But like the same thing with Yom Kippur, right? When everyone did Kodim, everyone bowed down, so there was a nace and everything expanded, right? So I assume it was more or less along the same lines as this, I would guess. Okay, the Gemara now says, "Kaman oz lahad amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Rabbi Yosef, betemeim halecha acharov ha'omdin ba'azara, kaman ke Rabbi Yosef bar Rabbi Yehuda shamar mishum Rabbi Eliezer." So this is actually, I think Billy might have mentioned this point maybe a few weeks ago or a few months ago, I don't even remember when, but the Gemara here is asking, who is the author of the following statement? Again, if you remember back in the earlier program, we spoke a lot about the idea that if the majority of Klal Yisrael are Tameh, and the whole carbon can be brought in a state of tumah. And I'm pretty sure Billy asked me back then that does that mean that only the people within the confines of the Azara? So the Gemara is now saying yes, that according to Rabbi Yossi, the definition of the majority of Klal Yisrael being Tameh means the people within the Azara. So that means if you have 100,000 Jews who are Tameh, but they're not in the Azara, and then you only have, you have, I don't know, 20,000 who are in the Azara, so the Gemara says that those 100,000 outside don't factor in terms of those numbers. In other words, it has to be the people that are within the Azara, according to Rabbi Yossi. Okay. Then the Mishnah said, Amar lo Rabbi Yossi lefichach. We said in the Mishnah that the reason why there was a dot on top of the hay in the word rechoka, v'derech rechoka lachem, is to teach you that according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's not really that you're derech rechoka. You could be 2 feet away, but that still qualifies as derech rechoka. So the Gemara says, Tanya Rabbi Yossi Galili Omer, derech shomea ani mahalich shnayim o shlosha yamim, kishahu omer v'derech lo haya, magid shomea skupa so azara v'lachutz karui derech. So the Gemara says that just based on the word derech in the pasuk, so I might have thought that even if a guy is a two or three day journey away, so he's still gonna be chayev to come for the Karban Pesach. So the Gemara says no. The pasuk says uvederech lo haya. You see from that phrase that even if the guy is mamish right outside the mikdash, but he's not within the confines of the mikdash yet, so then he is still called derech rechoka, and therefore he is not going to be chayev to partake of the Karban Pesach.